So you missed it live or just want to listen to it again? Here is a Chai FM podcast just for you.
So joining me from the Netherlands is Paul McDonald. Welcome.
Hello, welcome.
Oh,
good to talk to you.
Always good to speak to you. I've read your CV. Very impressive, actually. All right. Paul, let's just get into some tech. What's happening in television?
Ah, right. Well, on the television front, it's quite a sort of fascinating time. Obviously, there's been a lot of recent discussion, of course, just about the normal HD televisions and 3D technology, with the glasses or not.
Yes.
But pretty more recently is the move towards the 4K television displays as well, really. Pretty more importantly, because a lot of the events that take place, things like Wimbledon, big sporting events, they're actually filmed using cameras that can capture at a 5K resolution, so very high resolution. But when the 4K service comes out this year and the sets are available, you'll be able to see things in incredible detail. And when you actually see a 4K type television, it's very difficult to go back. It's a very impressive service. And the likes of Sony are actually actively pushing it. And they'll be making 4K content available on demand as well later this year. So there's a big push towards 4K.
Yes.
But beyond that as well, there's also things never stay still. So there's even a move as well for 8K televisions over the next few years as well, really. The practical problem there is that there's only about one or two 8K cameras in the world to actually capture the content. So there's not that much around, really. But just on the display side, there's even some curved screen technology as well, which has been announced at some of the trade shows very recently. And it provides like an IMAX-type theatre experience. So it actually literally does a curve around you and gives you a far more immersive feeling as well as if you're there. But that's just some of the screens. A clever little development as well recently is even flexible display technology. So the likes of LG have actually created a 5-inch panel, which actually you can actually literally move round and twist. And obviously it's going to be ideal for some of the mobile type developments as well, really.
I'm just trying to think of the applications for this in our homes.
Yeah, well, I suppose the mobile side is probably obviously a little bit further down the line in regards to the flexible part, but the 4K technology is going to be important, and probably just from a television point of view, probably the one of the key developments there are the new interactive capabilities. So the ability to be able to talk to your television using gestures to be able to control it. I mean, just give you a small example. One of the Samsung have got like their own smart television. It's got a built-in camera. And you literally can just really walk in front of the television. It recognizes you with a face recognition, logs you in. And from that point of view, you can effectively use some of the applications on the television itself. Or, as I say, just talk to it. So that's a practical thing in the home. The fact that if you're busy eating something and you don't want to press a remote control, you can literally wave your hands up and down, change the channel, change the volume, and have control, really. So that's
I'm seeing a television that monitors your hand movements towards your mouth and picks it up.
Yeah.
Automatically. Yeah. What sort of, are there apps that are specific to TV?
Well, I suppose one of the key things as well, that part of the dilemma, I think, as well, is the fact that there's the televisions, there's so many different other devices in the home. So just on Tuesday, Microsoft have announced the Xbox One,
yes,
which should be out towards the end of the year. Now, for that itself, they're really pushing hard to make that like the core of the home, like the entertainment hub, really, so to speak. And interestingly, I've just mentioned like the smart televisions have got their own applications. You can use the gestures. Things like the Xbox One could also be used to do the same type of thing. What they want to do, you plug that in and use the same type of technique. The difference there is they also want to use it for gaming, for all of your content. It'll have Skype integration and even a split screen type of capability as well. So you can have a Skype call, watch television, see some gaming progress as well, all at the same time. So there's some... That's one of the dilemmas, I think, as well, is regards to what you choose. Like, you can get an Apple TV box as well with,
yes,
some of your content. You can get Netflix, Love Film. You can get content from so many different places. And again, that can be delivered through your computer, through the television, or through one of these other devices. So unfortunately, there isn't one right answer. It's just a case of, it's just a fascinating time because there's some great new developments coming out. But interactive capabilities, great resolutions, and also these new platforms as well, really. The Xbox One will be definitely, or even the PlayStation 4 as well, later this year, will be very interesting to keep track of as well, really.
Paul, let's have a look at computer innovation. You know, I premised this by saying that I read an article, I think it must have been about a week or two ago, about autistic children, that all of a sudden they have voices and they have a device that can communicate with their parents, with the world. And that comes in the form of a tablet. You know, it could be an iPad or whatever it is. What's happening with tablets?
Well, the whole sort of touch part of it, the tablets, of course, it's been a huge growth area as well, really. I suppose, as you've already touched on, the most popular tablets, of course, are typical of the Apple iPad, of course, some of the Android devices as well, the Nexus 7. But the big difference as well is that people now are looking at, do they actually have to have their own traditional computer? Microsoft have got like a hybrid approach, really. So as opposed to having just a tablet or a PC, with their Surface Pro, it's basically a clippable keyboard that plugs in. And you've got the benefit of a tablet as well as a computer. So it's running a version of Windows 8, and that provides a lot of capability. But you're right, I mean, just the ability for people to interact, of course. People who have difficulty using the fingers, so that's why the voice interaction, of course, can be so important. But the touch techniques as well, really, especially with some accessibility capabilities to make the fonts larger, make it easier to use, is a big move. But so basically, I suppose, yeah, it's going to be an ongoing move. People are going to decide, really, which is the best platform. Definitely worth looking at these hybrid-type devices as well, really, because you can do, say, the ability to have a PC and a tablet combined. Things like the Microsoft Surface one is important. But there's just one other thing I wanted to touch on as well, actually. There's a just beyond just a tablet itself, there was some technology that's been around for a few years, actually, in the form of an actual table device. So obviously it's like a tablet, but far, far larger. And it's using something called Microsoft Pixel Sense. And what it allows you to do is allow multiple people to collaborate and touch the device at the same time. So unlike a tablet, it's just designed for one person, for tapping it. With some of this table technology, it will actually recognize real-world objects. So as an example, you could be, say, in a restaurant, you could have an interactive menu on there. You could actually put a glass of wine on the table itself. It would recognize that and even come up with some suggestions in regards to what food would go with the wine or vice versa. But from a business point of view as well, it's just a great way of interacting with customers as well, really. So it's been a bit slow to take off, and the tablet devices have sort of come into their own as a personal tool. But if you're looking at a wider audience, this table-type technology is very clever. And that also leads on as well to some other visual recognition techniques as well. You may have heard about the Microsoft Kinect device, which is used on the Xbox.
I haven't.
All right. Well, the actual Kinect itself is a camera device, which again will look at your movements, and it's a gesture-based device that will capture what you're doing. But a company has brought out an alternative that would work on a PC or a Mac or something, and it's actually over 200 times more sensitive than the Microsoft equivalent, and it's just an incredible way of interacting, really, as well. So you're saying that, again, even if people may have some physical disabilities, and even a tablet device may not be suitable, using this gesturing techniques as well could provide lots and lots of benefits, actually, as well.
For people who are perhaps limited in their motion.
Exactly, that's right. Yes, yeah. So, and to be honest with you, it's going to be the key growth areas, actually, as well. Really, I think again is this method of interacting as well. Really, think like the voice activation isn't always appropriate. Some people may be in a busy environment, so talking to a device. People who've got iPhones and trying to use Siri as well, they can appreciate it doesn't always quite work as advertised, really.
I'd be happy with predictive text that works.
Exactly. I know. You can end up with very strange results, actually. I must admit. Yeah. But now I think the touch technology, obviously, is a key growth area as well, really. And as I say, the iPad will continue to be strong. Again, we'd expect Apple to announce another variation of the iPad, of course, shortly. They had the mini version last year. Google as well already have been pushing their devices as well, really their Nexus range of devices, be it mid or larger tablet devices. But say the hybrid approach as well from Microsoft is worth looking into as well for some people. And the larger versions will be these table devices, which again, people haven't really made that much use of, but the possibilities are great, really. It's just that there's a bit of an investment. It could take a few thousand dollars to buy one of those devices, really, unfortunately.
Paul, what are the hot mobile apps?
Well, on the mobile apps... One of the things I'd like to sort of get across, I suppose, really, is that there's people always say these days that there's an app for that, because again, as we all know, there's huge number of applications yes. out there, really, of course, as well, in the various app stores for the devices. But as opposed to going into too much detail, what I wanted to try and get across to people was the fact that if you have a requirement to actually have an application, you don't actually have to go to the time and the expense of actually hiring a developer to do it from scratch. There are actually some very good applications or methods of assembling an application from other companies that are actually in the cloud, so to speak.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is you can actually go to a site, you can pay like a subscription, and effectively you can build various modules together, customize it with your own look and feel and logos, and actually create something very quickly with all of the integration capabilities for social media and everything you need, really. One company, as an example, is a company called Mobile Roadie. And as the name suggests, they actually mainly develop applications for large-scale events as well. So it could be some sort of show-type event, sort of a music event, and they actually provide some great application templates to get started quickly. It's actually a subscription-type model. And the nice thing is you can build it, say, very quickly, brand it so it looks unique to you, and do it all very, very quickly indeed. And content changes can be made online, so the people using the app will get it very, very quickly. So that's a good one to bear in mind. Again, just on the sort of business side as well, one thing I would recommend as well is if you are looking at building an application, there's actually something called Keynotopia. And all it is actually is a set of templates, and it allows you to create a realistic mock-up of an actual application itself. And it actually creates a PDF file. I actually have done this a few times myself for an event type system to be used in the Netherlands. And I was able to make an application look like a real application just by having a series of PDF type screens. The buttons all look real. You could click on it. It would look like it would logged in. It had a QR code as well. All those sort of capabilities could be done very quickly indeed. So for the business people out there, I think this mock-up type solution, I think, is a great way of at least experiencing what can I do with a particular app without having to engage an expensive developer really to do it for you. The other thing as well, as I mentioned, creating applications, a large company behind it, again, is Adobe. They've got something called Creative Cloud. And again, the reason I brought them up is the fact that when you're developing an application, you normally got to decide, of course, which platform it will go on. It may be just for the Apple, the iOS platform, or the Android, or the Microsoft phone platform. But the advantage of some of the Adobe solutions is it will actually work across all platforms well. The challenge really, and the bit that's time consuming, is actually to submit the applications and get the approval sometimes from the various companies. So that's just something to bear in mind, is that it can take a couple of weeks, and if there are issues, it may have to be submitted more than once, of course, as well. But yeah, so I wasn't going to go into too many specifics, but hopefully that will give you a good indication, really, I think, of there are the Keynotopia templates to build a realistic mock-up, Mobile Roadie in the cloud, so to speak, and you can create some really good-looking applications on different devices very quickly. So those are definitely ones I would recommend.
Oh, very nice. Then I want to talk to you about ebooks. Now, I'm very much a Puritan. I like to have a book. I like the feel of the book and the smell of the book. And I am not convinced about these ebooks and Kindles and tablets. I'm not. Sell it to me.
Right. I'm sell it to you. Yeah. Now, to be honest with you, there's still a place, I must admit, really, for some of these things. I just from a practical point of view, I was listening to something yesterday, and it was actually the same thing. It was a debate regards to the physical book and how good that is. And somebody else who had actually decided to go to the Kindle approach, and he dedicated himself to the Kindle. I went on holiday with it, and on the second day, with about 30-odd books all preloaded onto his Kindle, he dropped it into the swimming pool, and that was it. So it was, there was an issue there. But no, the very latest devices from the likes of Amazon, Kindle, the latest Kindle, the actual contrast is very, very good indeed, actually, as well, really, I think, for those types of devices. And just from a practical point of view, actually, of course, is that obviously, when you finish one book, you can automatically get the next book as well, without having to go anywhere at all. Just one thing I've come across. I've actually got a Kindle which is a few years old now. Mm. It's actually a Kindle which has got the 3G capability built in, and of course it's there primarily to allow Amazon to deliver more books for you, of course, that you pay for. But there are actually there is a basic web browser as well, actually, in there. So it is actually possible. And Amazon effectively pay for the communication charges. But I literally can take a Kindle somewhere, because it's got great battery life, and actually go to this little browser on it and get my electronic mail free of charge as well, actually, even roaming around the world. So it's quite a nice little side feature, that is, really. But to be honest with you, that's only one small part of it. My real passion, to be honest with you, is more on the interactive capabilities, really, with the ebooks. So if you have a tablet device, something, of course, you can't do with just printed paper is really to give an immersive experience, the fact that you can actually have video in there as well, bring the content to life, really, as well. You could have interactive maps. And just one practical thing that I've done, I like doing some long-distance running.
Yes.
I did the New York Marathon a few years ago. And what I did afterwards, I actually collected all the photographs, the video, information on the course, even my GPS stats and everything, heart rate stats, put it all together and created this interactive ebook. And it was a great personalized tool, really, as well. And I'd encourage people to do this, because if you have an iPad, as an example, Apple do provide the iBooks author tool free of charge. So you can download that, load it in, get your content in, and really package it up in a nice way. You can put a nice template against it. But just combining it, it's just a far more immersive experience. One other example as well I'll give you is I actually did some work and created the horticulture industry's first interactive ebook. And this is actually in an iBook format, so it's for use on the iPad itself. And it was a company, of course, that sell some absolutely beautiful plants as well, really. So you could imagine on an iPad or something as well, really, you had this great catalogue of all of these different types of flowers that you could literally pinch in, slide through. We had video material on there as well to explain how you could do things, how growing hints and tips as well, really. So yeah. It was a great way of bringing content together.
I think it's got a lot of value in terms of your non-fiction type of content, like you were saying about when you ran the New York Marathon, and also the, you know, what you're talking about now about the horticulture. If you're looking at flower species, or you want to identify different species of flower, but I'm just scared that it's going to be something which is going to take that's non-fiction. Right, yes. But your fiction books, which really requires and is based on the imagination of the reader, that all of a sudden authors are going to start putting in content that really dictates exactly how it was, what it looked like, and you lose that.
To be honest with you, I do partly agree with that as well, really. I think one of the dangers as well is the likes of Amazon, I think, have included some advertising as well, actually. So you can actually pay a lower amount to get a Kindle with advertising as well, really.
Just more people and I think trying
when
to
you
sell
start,
stuff.
When you start polluting the book, so to speak, with that, then that's not really a good move, really. So I still think the advantages are there, I must admit, really, for it. The fact that even though it hasn't got the same smell, obviously, really. Although you never know, actually.
Saves trees. I get the green side.
Exactly. It's also the fact as well. I mean, one of the clever things I love doing as well, the advantage is I can actually read the Kindle on a Kindle, so I read a book out somewhere. I can come back and then continue reading then on a tablet device or on the PC or even on iPhone or something. It will remember exactly which page I'm on. Keeps everything synchronized for me as well, really. So I can use the most appropriate device at the time, really. Say the Kindle works brilliantly outside in bright sunlight, and people who haven't seen that, it's definitely a key feature of it, of course. Where if you're trying to use something like an iPad outside, the reflection just makes it unusable, really. But I think it's worth trying. I mean, again, having that content available across all the devices, kept in sync, is definitely a key feature, really, for it as well, really. And the accessibility to more books. And I suppose the key message there, really, is the fact that anything to get people reading again, really, and quality things as well, not just reading blogs off the internet, really. I think for younger people as well, anything as an incentive to get people, I think, reading is a good thing, really. So it's... But my key things, as I say, the interactive ebooks, I'm passionate about those, and I've created a whole number of them actually as well, really. And certainly from a business point of view, you can do some great things. And of course, you will have seen newspapers and magazines, business journals as well, really, all being created as well. There's still that ongoing move, of course, for the big publishing houses to have their content available on those devices. The challenge they have, of course, is trying to find out the correct revenue model, really. Subscription, pay-as-you-go, people expect content to be free, so trying to get them to part with it can sometimes be difficult as well.
Paul, we've run out of time, but I would like to really thank you for sharing your insights, you know, just to share with the listeners. You know, Paul is a business innovation architect for ING, for Beautiful Technology. He's a consultant to, you're a technology consultant, right? To Beautiful Technology.
Exactly.
Big website. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry that we've run out of time, because there's a lot of different things that I'd like to just find out about what's up with technology. But hopefully we can get you back.
Yeah, certainly, yes. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. There's many, many, many more things as well to discuss. So hopefully we can talk again in the future. Yeah.
I would like that. Thank you so much. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. All right. Thank you again.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. That's Paul MacDonald.